Your permission. Mizrat Hashem, Megillat Rut, chapter 3, with your permission. We stopped at the story that Ruth went to collect some barley and some wheat from the field that belongs to Boaz. And when she came home, she told her ex-mother-in-law, Mr. Nomi, you should know I happened to come and to collect from a field that belongs to Boaz, and Nomi tells her he is our relative, actually he's Nomi's cousin, and he did ask me to come and do it again and again until the finished harvest, the barley of it.
Didn't Nomi tell her to go again?
No.
No. She just asked
me. Right. So chapter 3, with your permission, starts Vatom Elan Naomi Chamata Biti Alo Avakesh Lach Manuach Asher Etov Lach. My daughter, I'm going to find you Manuach, means a rest place. It means she's going to look for Shiduch for her. Asher Etov Lach is going to be very good for you. So of course, very good, but what else? I never heard the Shadchan says to someone, listen, I'm going to find you a Shidduch, you can have a worst life in the world. And he says, you don't have to tell me that if you say that you're going to find for me a Shidduch, of course it's good for me. You don't have to add, I'm going to find for you a place that's going to be good to you. Of course it's going to be good to me. All right? If it's going to be better to me, I hope you're not going to look for me. And then Rav Nuziel says, not only that, he says that in those words that she says, she also told her that she's going to swear that she's going to find a shidduch for her. Not only she's going to find a shidduch for her, she swears she's going to do it. And the question is why she has to swear. And what do you mean you have to swear? Either you do it or you don't. Either you find a shidduch or you don't find a shidduch. But you don't go to someone and say, listen, I swear I find you a shidduch, I find you a husband, I find you a mate. What do you mean you swear? It's not a slang, because it's no mystics like this. Huh? Should I answer? Yeah, it's me, that's right. This is Mr. Boaz, it's our relative. I shall write it now, Otav, you were together with his girls over there at the field. He knows the red gona sorim alayla. This man is going to stay overnight at the field, and he is going so-called to, what do you do when you throw the wheat? What do you call it? We know. Not fresh, no. This is after the threshing. We know. So that's what he's going to do. But the Gemara says what she really told her is that Boaz is going to spend the night over the pile of the barley. It says the reason is that he's going to do it because there are a lot of thieves over there. They steal barley, so he is going to watch it over, he's going to make sure nobody is going to steal. So Boaz is the information that we have. He's Yitzhak, this is a judge, that led Am Yisrael, that he's so-called the head of the country at the time, and besides that Baruch Hashem is very well to do, and he decides that he is going to lie down over there the whole night to watch over that nobody will steal. I says, first of all, I don't think it's your job, because you can hire people, you have workers, let them stay over, you have to stay over there. And with all the respect, the man is 400 years old. At 400 years old, you don't do these things. I mean, you're young, you know, you own the business, you think you want to stay overnight, you want to watch it, okay, fine. But at this age, 400 years, you don't stay over and you go to sleep on a pile of barley in the field because you're afraid somebody might steal some barley. So, business says, how long do you think you're going to live? For this, you're going to spend the night over the barley. So therefore, he's there. So what it means is that Mami wants her to have a date with this guy, 400 years old, and the date has to be in the field. So this is the instructions. She tells her yes to go to mikveh, and the reason to go to mikveh is not because she's not pure, or she is a goy because she converted already. The reason for the mikveh, the Gemara says, is she told her, go wash yourself from the dirt of worshipping idols before you got married to my son. So what, because you, before you go on a date, you have to do it.
If she converted, then she
already married. Right, yeah. So it means even you converted, you still have some dirt in the system. And she wants her to clear it before she goes to the date. I said, what's the importance about it? The Gemara says he told her to go put the Shabbat dress on. He says not only that, she has to put them. She tells her to put makeup, go fix your hair, and go put the Shabbat dress on. Yarad et ha-goren and go down over there to the field. Al tibadi la'ish. Nobody should see who you are. Atka lo tole chol b'sod until you're going to hear that he finishes dinner. He's going to finish eating and drinking. And then, this is the day. First of all, you know, if you want me to marry this guy, you know, where is his office? Let me go to his office. I don't think it's proper anyway. This is unheard that a girl is going to chase a boy to get married. The Gemara says, this thing should not be done. The Gemara, the job is the boy should go look for the girl, not the girl should look for a boy. And never, ever, doesn't matter whose job is this, but a girl should not go approach a boy, listen, I want to go out with you. The Gemara says it's not new. The Gemara says the girl should not, the girl is supposed to be very modest and very humble, and she should never approach a boy, let me go out with you. But she can, you know, she can say certain things, but not directly. But you don't go out on a date, you know, he doesn't expect you. He says, here I am. It's all dressed up. With all the makeup, she's here. The bride is here. I says, it's disgusting. Besides, that, you know, if it's not me, I don't know. I don't know if she's a professional shatran or not. But the best thing is that she should send a text message to boss. Or she should call him. Or she should go over to him. It's a cousin. So what's the whole thing? You go over to your cousin's house. He has a house. He has an office. He has a business. If not, he goes to the field. He's in the field every day. Calling you later to the field, he says, Mr. Boaz, you saw this girl. What do you think? You want to marry her? That's the end of it. You don't send the bride herself for a date, and you tell her, go dress up, and you go to the date on the field. I want to take her, you know, to a restaurant. Also, you know, to a hotel, you know, in the lobby, sit down in the lobby. Oh, you know, anyway, she goes every day, you know, if you want her to do it, so the next morning she goes to the field anyway. If she goes to the field, the next morning she goes to the good morning, so about how are you, and then you say, well, Mr. Boaz, you know, maybe you have the time, you have a secret, you know, when, you know, what's the weather, did you hear the news, who won, the Giants, this, well, you know, start talking to him, and then eventually he said, okay, you know, you have to hope he's going to invite you out. But that's not a way to do what you do. find this remember asking the last question, the last the same question. He says this is forbidden according to Shulchan Aruch where you Shabbat dress to go on a date. You can have a very fancy dress to go on a date. You can have a very fancy suit to go on a date. But if you have a designated suit or designated dress for Shabbat, you may not use it for any other occasion. Doesn't matter if it's Brit Milah or Pidyon HaBen or Chatunah or you will see an engagement party, wedding, it doesn't matter. That's a law. That's a law. So the Gemara says, whatever you dress on Shabbat should not be the same clothing that you wear during the week. It's a law. It's kind of respect for Shabbat. This is one of the things that you have to respect Shabbat. So the Gemara that you should dress different on Shabbat. You should have a designated suit, a designated clothing for Shabbat. They should never ever use it during the week. Never. You can have something identical, the same color, the same thing for during the week, for any occasions that you want. That's permitted. But the one that you wear on Shabbat, you should never ever wear during the week. Never. Doesn't matter what occasion it is. And here comes the Normita Zrut, listen, I want you to wear Shabbat dress for the date. First of all, listen, I know how to go on a date. The Gemara describes this girl Ruth as the prettiest in the world at the time. The prettiest in the world. The Gemara says people used to walk on the street and stare at her. They couldn't take off the eye from her. That's how pretty she was. And he's talking about age 40 now. Now he's talking about 18. 40. So don't have to tell her, listen, I want you to go on a date. Please put your Shabbat dress. Listen, first of all, it's forbidden. Secondly, don't have to teach me how to get dressed on to the date. Thirdly, the date is in the field. You know, if you tell me that you want me out, you can take me to a restaurant, and you want to a museum, I understand, you want me to look. I have to look to go on the field at night, not during the day. You won't even see my dress. You won't even see my dress. Maybe you realize maybe that I have a dress, it's a very fancy dress, maybe, yes, maybe not. There's information if you need it then. But anyway, it's not necessary. You're not taking a walk. He's not taking me to a coffee. Nothing. He's going to lay down over there, and I'm going to go there. This is when? Midnight. What do you call America? Madness midnight. Midnight is the date. Midnight. Why midnight? Why you can't have the day during the day? You know, before sunset. Right after sunset. Why midnight? Okay, so that's how I want you to go. I mean, if I would be rude, I would run away from this girl, from this lady, from Nomi. It's disgusting. Anyway, Ruth swallowed everything. And she continues, that's only the beginning. When you hear that after he finishes dinner, he's going to sleep, please find out, detect, I don't know how, Sham, he's a big pile of garlic, but find out exactly where he lies down when he's going to sleep. He said, I want you to go lie down next to him. Imagine the chief rabbi, can you imagine the chief rabbi? He says, the chief rabbi goes lies down over there, he says, Shema Israel. He says he's going to eat his dinner, and all of a sudden, you know, there's a girl next to him. What embarrassing this. But Tom and Elia, when I showed him where I say, so Ruth said to me, you know, whatever you tell me, I'm going to do whatever you tell me. But here at Agoren, went down there to the field. But she did exactly, maybe not exactly the Gemara says. But even she all dressed up now with the Shabbat dress, and all makeup and everything ready to go. She sits over there by Yochal Boaz Vayesh. He says, Boaz, eat and drink, so eat every more. He learned something Torah before, and then when Avoy Shabbat says, Arama, he says, he goes to sleep, but Avu Balat, she goes very quietly, but the Gama Gelotam, and the Shkab, she lies down next to him. Vayi Bachati Al Ha'ela midnight, Vayi Chirad Ha'ish Vayi Lafet, and says, all of a sudden he felt there's a lady next to him, somebody next to him. He got very scared. Vini Isha Shechavet Margalotov. The Gemara says he did put his hands on her head and he found out that she has hair. Because he thought in the beginning that she had a demon. And a demon, and lady's demon does not, they don't have hair. So since she has hair, it's a person. I said before he touched her head, he thought maybe it's a shed, the demon. He got very scared. Who lies down at him midnight on the field on this fire? The Baruch Hashem, it's a person. It's a person, but excuse me. Who are you? But tell me, I'm not here to tell you. I said, my name is Ruth, you know, from the field. So the explanation of the sentence is, please, I want you to put your wings on me. So the Gemara, what do you mean, put your wings on me? He says, no, put wings on me means put your garment on me. It means put your talit on me, it means wedding. This is where, by the way, it's the custom that some people had under the chuppah, the chatan, the groom, has a talit, and he puts the talit on him, on the bride, comes from that sentence. So this is what Ruth asked was, so-called, put the talit on me. Excuse me, don't just say fancy words, just tell him in a nice words, would you marry me? That's that of it. You don't have to say, would you put your garment on me? So the reason she's not a poet. He goes, I mean, you are relatives, I want you to so-called to marry me. He says, my daughter, Hashem should bless you. He says, you know, what you're doing right now, your kindness, so-called last one, what you begged me to marry you, is unbelievable, by far better than the first thing what you did that you converted. You could have gotten anyone, any boy is much younger than me. Of course, again, he's 400 years old. And she's the same age without 10. She's 40. 11. But 0 means nothing. You know, one time they asked me, Yeshiva, you know, they make a, call it Purim Rav, you know, Purim Rabbi. They have to speak. He talks nonsense that everybody should laugh and Purim. So you have to say something, you know, something interesting. So I said, I was thinking, if a 0 is a number or 0 is nothing. I said, so what do you mean? I said, listen, really 0 sounds like a nothing. Usually, you know, in Yeshivot, you know, somebody doesn't learn, we call him 0. In Hebrew it's called Ephes, in whatness. But you know, if you put a number before the 0, the more zeros you have, the number gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So if you have 6 zeros, it's a million. If you have this, it will become a million. So you see 0 has a power. So the same thing over here, you know, she's 40. Big deal, you add up a 0, he's 400. But you know, it's the same, it's 40 and 400. It's almost the same. So, I said, big deal. So, but you did the right thing. This is something very big. So, you have to tell her that? I don't know exactly what you mean, tell her that, but... Now my daughter, Tirika, Shetan, we send her whatever you want to marry. You want me to marry you, I'll marry you. כדי שכל שאר התמיגה שתחיל את יהיה שתחיל ואתה שאומנם כי אם גואל הנוכי בת ישנו even though that I am a relative and that this is so called you want me to marry you גם יש גואל הקרוב במני this is somebody closer to me my uncle is still alive and Lini Alayla says please stay over the night you know it's like a fancy hotel here he says stay over on the pile but a while you know they say about a lot of big mekubalim, the tzaddikim, it says they reach a very high level, that once they had like a test with a lady, the lady said that she wants to stay with them, and he jumped from the window. I said, this is the chief rabbi. I says, okay, so the lady came, okay, forget about what happened. It's a test dance. It's 12 o'clock, it's midnight right now. So she wants you to marry you. Okay, but you're saying yourself you're not going to marry her tonight. I mean, this. There's no rabbi, there's nobody here. I says, you want to check out if your uncle wants to marry her. Okay, fine, so goodbye. Nice meeting you. I'll see you in the morning. We'll meet in the morning. He said, no, stay over the night. We'll stay over the night. What do you mean stay over the night? Where is she going to stay over the night? Next to you, she's going to lie down the whole night next to you? The biggest embarrassment can ever happen in the Tanakh, I think. Please stay over the night. So if this guy wants to redeem you, wants to marry you, fine. The uncle is sad. Why? Because the uncle is closer.
Yeah, but it's not a...
Right. It's not. You're right. just a symbol. It's a symbol of Yibum, it's not Yibum at all. And according to the Chachamim, that she was never converted while she was married to this guy Machlon, the whole thing is worthless. The whole thing is worthless. It's like a custom, I don't know what it is. But she did follow the instructions. Maybe that's what Mami told her. Lie down over there, he'll tell you what to do. That's what he tells her what to do. He says, lie down over here till the morning on the pile. What do you mean? She wants to go home, she wants to go to bed. But she's going to lie down over there. Why she's going to lie down? He says, please lie over here. You don't have to lie over there. You don't have to lie over here. What am I going to do over here the whole night? I have to lie down on the pile. Besides, can you imagine somebody called CNN and says, you know, the chief rabbi is lying over there on the pile, there's a girl next to him. And for the chief rabbi, he says, well, why do you risk it? Why do you risk it? How can you risk it? Who said that you have to do such a thing? Send her home and send up the story. Stay over the night. Ada boker until morning. Batako meterem yakiru shitreyo. She gets up before it's light enough for people to recognize each other. And he wakes up now. He says, listen, I think you better leave. I says, why? Can you imagine if somebody is going to see all of a sudden that you're here? I says, oh, excuse me, sir. What do you think at night time couldn't happen such a thing? What do you think? Why did you took a risk? Why you told her to stay over the night until the morning? For what? There's no purpose of it. Let her go home. Now, especially now in the morning, he wakes her up and says, run for your life. Before it's going to be, the whole media is going to be here with television and pictures to say, oh, the rabbi has, you know, stepped over there with the girl. Please give me the handkerchief that you have, the scarf, please hold it because I want to put something inside. I talk about by Yom Moshe, so Rima Yashet Aleh, and Yavua, he put six pieces of grain. He says, why six pieces of grain? Gemara says, this, he hinted to her, Mashiach will come from you. שנאמר, משיח מוקם בזכות ההפטרה הזאת שהוא עובד עוד הלאס די אוף פסח ונח עליו רוח חוכמה ובינה, רוח עצה וגבורה, רוח תא זירת השם. אז משיח will have so-called six adjectives to describe him to the nation. It says, Mr. Moaz is רוח הקודש. He turns and listen, open up the handkerchief, put six grain inside. He says, why you put me six? To hint to her, Mashiach is going to come from here. So he knows everything. So she comes back home. And she comes back home, she knocks on the door. Her ex-mother opens the door. She says, excuse me, who are you? What do you mean, who are you? Who are me? Who am I? What do you mean, who am I? You don't know me anymore. I mean, a few hours ago, you sent me over there to Boaz. Now, she asked me, who are you? What do you mean, who are you? She doesn't even answer. Attracted light called Asher Atala Ish, instead of telling her who she is, she doesn't answer, she doesn't respond to the question. She said, let me tell you what happened. The man, that's what he did. He told me he's going to marry me. He told me that he's a relative, that he has to find out if he wants to marry me. And she said, also he gave me this six grain of barley, kiyama, he told me, don't come back empty-handed to your ex-mother. What do you mean, empty-handed? What do you mean, empty-handed? So you gave me six grain? Is it even worse? It's a big embarrassment. I said, hello, I got your present. And my mother-in-law, here, my mother-in-law. Here you, my mother-in-law. I told you, it's always the chandelier. I told you, no, the chandelier. Yeah, so the Gemara says no. The Gemara says that what it means, he counted. Miyamud means he counted. But you write what you say, because in Tamil Nuzia says he did give her six measurement of barley, and this is very heavy, and the six measurement of barley so-called shrank in order for her to be able to carry it. But the Gemara says no. He only gave her, six, if you have Rashi, you couldn't get Rashi. Rashi means the Gemara says no, he only gave her six pieces of grain. And then she brought it to her mother-in-law. He said, you know, ex-mother-in-law, said, you know, he gave it to me, he didn't want me to come empty-handed. What is empty-handed? This is even worse. You come to somebody and you give him a present, the whole box, the whole wrapping that inside is empty. Let's wait, because in the morning we'll see what's going to happen, because it's going to be the anchor and they'll decide.
That morning.
I mean, this is the next morning, the whole thing, the wedding is going to happen the next morning. So he's going to get up after she left the field. He's going to get up and he's going to go to the town. And he's going to go to the Bedin, and he's the head of the Bedin, he's the chief rabbi, and he's going to go over there and meet the guy's going to come over there, and he's going to ask him, would you like to marry this girl? He says, no, and then I'm both going to marry him. So not only that, he tells her the statement, he says, ki lo yishkot ha'ish ki im kila davar hayom. He says, I'm guaranteeing it to you, that person will not delay it, he is going to rush today to finish the whole thing. So how do you know? How do you know he's going to do it today? He's busy. You know, he has business appointments. He has to go to China. How do you know he's going to do it? He says, I guarantee you. Listen. For sure. He's not for sure. What do you mean for sure? But he told you. He spoke to him. Then the Megillah will continue with chapter 4, that this was happened. In the morning he went to Bedin and he met this guy. And then Boaz, he's the one, he purchased a field. And the field had some kind of connection with this marrying this lady Ruth. He does the transaction. Says, listen, Mazal Tov. He gives Miss Ruth the ring. I says, Mazal Tov, they got married. When they got married, says, and the Navi says, the Megillah says like this. So, Kol Ha'am Asher Ba'Yavus, if he has sentence 11, chapter 4, so right away that he said, okay, Mazal Tov, I'm marrying this girl, Emu Kol Ha'am Asher Ba'Atkinim Edim, he says, everybody is a witness. A transaction of the field to be transferred to Boaz, and also the marriage program. That girl should be like our mothers. Yuhal should be like the house of Peretz. They all know about Peretz, about Tamar, about Yehuda. It says, hopefully your house is going to be like the house of Peretz that Tamar gave birth to Yehuda. That baby, he should be somebody very similar to the baby that was born to Tamar and Yehuda. She's expecting, as the lady said, to know me, Baruch Hashem, here, you have a baby. Asher levit no yach kol ha'yem yikrash mo b'Yisrael, ki mi yinem, b'yal lach, kol ha'mishiv nefesh. Here, it's a vatech, it says, Naomi, you see, now you're an old lady, and you can have b'zot Hashem nachat, ki chalatech, and you daughter-in-law, asher ha'avtech, el atur, asher tava v'lach mishabadim, it's better, she's better than seven boys to you. She raised him. So the ladies, the girls, gave him a name. Now in order to understand it, the Ari says the following. So we say, Nishmones, when the second bracha after Atach Ronin, it says, וחזירנו בתשובה שלמה לפניך, says please הקדוש ברוך הוא, I regret and I hope you accept what I regret and I will never do it again. But we say תשובה שלמה, it means a complete regret. I mean complete. Either you regret or you don't regret. And not just think, you know, I regret completely. There's no such thing to regret half completely. Regret half completely means you did not regret. He said, you regret, I'm sorry. He said, no, I'm only 50% sorry. It means you're not sorry. He said, תראינו בתשובה, says הקדוש ברוך הוא, we're saying, תפילה שלמה לפניך, please, הקדוש ברוך הוא, please bring me back completely to you. It means a lot of means, a lot of things it means. Another explanation I answer it means like this. It is Chas v'Shalom, for example, somebody went and spoke Lashon Hara. And they said Lashon Hara, of course now I have to say Lashon Hara, and somebody went and spoke Lashon Hara. So, of course, the guy that spoke Lashon Hara, he committed a sin, he committed a crime. It's a crime, it's a crime, you spoke Lashon Hara. But in the meantime, you involved somebody else, so-called an innocent person, that you chose him to be your partner in that act. So besides the sin, actually, what you did, the wrong thing that you did, also you put somebody in a trap. Unexpectedly, of course, now, you know, maybe he did enjoy it, maybe he didn't enjoy it, it's irrelevant. But he didn't stop you, or he didn't stop to say it. So eventually, you shared the sin together. You shared the sin together, and somehow you say it's the same thing that invited somebody to your house, and you decided, you know, to give him something to eat. And you were negligent, and you gave him something to eat, and inside was something not kosher enough. You knew it, you didn't know it, it doesn't matter. So that guy, really, he committed a sin unintentionally, but still he committed, but you are so-called the cause for that thing. So of course, you know, then you regret, you know, I'm sorry I spoke Lashon Hara, I'm sorry I gave him something to eat or to drink that was not 100% kosher. But the repair that what you have to do is now besides that you have to bang on your heart and you said I'm sorry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you said I'm sorry that I did it. And says, what is the story that thing got damaged? It says the neshama of a person gets damaged from a sin. It says not only down here, it's up in Shemaim also. There's a concept of what we call the root of the neshamot upstairs in Shemaim. And when somebody does something bad, it destroys something in Shemaim. I said, Chaim Volozhin says, the Kohen HaGadol on Yom Kippur, when he used to go to Kodesh HaKodeshim, to the holiest of the holiest, he used to tie a chain to his leg. I said, because if he has one thought that's nothing to do with Yom Kippur, about the business, the stock market, anything, I said he would fall down dead. And they would pull him out with a chain. I said, so the second Beit HaMikdash, they had 300 Kohanim that died. Either instantly on Yom Kippur, or day after, depending, in the middle of a little bit earlier, so a day or two or three or four, after Yom Kippur, he used to die. But most of them, you know, they went inside with a chain locked up to the foot, and they said, in case he's going to die, so inside, you cannot go inside and take him. I said, yeah, they had to pull him. It happened in Beit HaMikdash, he used to pull the Kohen HaGadol with chains outside on Yom Kippur, because nobody was allowed to go into the holiest of the holiest. That is, if he didn't come outside, after a certain time, he used to pull the chain. So Chaim Volozhin, the student asked, he says, you know, the Gemara says, that in Machshimo Titus, when he came, I mean, he walked inside the holiest of the holiest, and he took the Torah and he spread it on the floor, he lied down over there. He says, he is alive. How can it be that he is alive, entering the holiest of the holiest, and this Kohen HaGadol drops dead? They say the difference is that a Jew has a connection to upstairs, so-called to the root of the Neshamot. A Goy doesn't have a soul, he has a Nefesh. Since they didn't accept the Torah, they don't have that power that they can damage upstairs anything. So Kohen HaGadol, if he walks in Kodesh HaKodeshim, if he walks in the Holy Tadolos in Yom Kippur and he's not 100%, it means when you walk inside, you do something wrong. If you do something wrong, it's not downstairs. It's downstairs and upstairs. So therefore, every sin that the person does, if somebody does act, so forget about the sin that you did over here. There's only partially. The main part is that you destroy upstairs an element. So that's why he says, you know, the person that, you know, he did something, did a crime that he should not have done the crime, and he did it anyway. So this is between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, he didn't observe Shabbat, you drove Shabbat, you did something, you know, that you don't believe in it, so it's between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you do Shabbat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu waves it. But if you did so-called with a partner, it means that, you know, somebody listen to you, to your Lashon Hara, to your gossip, or, you know, you get somebody food, sorry to read. So what happened is that you really caused this guy so-called a damage in the system, his system downstairs, and the system upstairs. It says you're responsible for it. It doesn't mean that you that's what it means when it says that it's kavanah that a person should have. One of the kavanah is more kavanah, of course. One of the kavanah is that I want to do the shuvah. It means I want that person that I caused the damage to him, to his soul, downstairs and upstairs. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want Shiva for this as well. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should repair the damage, and I don't want to be blamed for that part, even though from my personal part, maybe, you know, I had in mind it's a regret, and I will never do it again. Maybe Hashem waives it for me. But you have so called to regret what you had done to that person as well. And to hope to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you regret, Hashem will fix it. And this is Hashemenu, it's Shabbat the man of Hanecha, and will please bring us back completely. Completely means to the second part of Israel. The Tanakh tells us a story about the King Yerovam that was chosen by Achiah Shiloni, that he was a Navi, he came out of Egypt, to be the king on 10 tribes. This is the time of Rehoboam, the son of Shlomo. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very upset with Shlomo, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Shlomo, listen, I think that I would like already by now to take you off the kingdom completely. Just I don't do it because of your father, it was very holy David HaMelech. I'm going to do it in your son's time. Your son Rehoboam is going to be the king. I'm going to split the kingdom. So originally, Shlomo and Rehoboam, when he took the kingdom, right after Shlomo's death, they had 12 tribes of Am Yisrael underneath them. And now, when Rehoboam did not behave accordingly, and he continued to go on the way, on the path Hashem does not approve it, Hashem said, Achiah Shloni Navi, he says, you know what, you go, there's a guy, the genius, at the time was very holy, his name is Jeroboam ben Nevat, you go to him, and you tell him you're going to be the next king on 10 tribes. 10. Not 11, not 8, not 9. So then Navi tells you, in Sefer Shemuel, Navi tells you, in Sefer Melachim, I'm sorry, Navi tells you that Yerovam met Achiah on the field. So I happened to be on the field, I don't know why on the field. Says, I don't know why I didn't meet him in the Knesset. He met him on the field, he says, Achiah, listen, I want to show you something. He takes off his garment, he tears his garment for 10 pieces, 12 pieces, and 10 pieces he gave to Mr. Yerovam. He says, here, you have 10 pieces of garment, you are the chosen king for 10 tribes. And the question is, why he has to tear the garment, and why he has to meet him on the field, and why it's going to be a king of 10 tribes? Unless the kingdom stayed by Rehoboam, only Judah and Binyamin, and then went from king to king until destruction of first Beit HaMikdash, was the kingdom of Yehuda was so called the kingdom of David HaMelech. There were kings only on 2 tribes. The rest of the tribes were under different kings. Again, the first one was Yerovam, that he is really a great grandson of Yosef. Says Ari the following, that if you remember, when Yosef was lost in the field, the Torah says. They say, Rish, Mirei Torah Basadeh. It says Yosef was lost in the field, and eventually when he found his brothers, then the tragedy happened. They threw him into the pit, and then they picked him up and they sold him. After they sold him, Yehuda took the garment and dipped it in the goat's blood and brought it to Yaakov. The Gemara says, the Medrash says that Yaakov did not believe it. He went outside, and Yaakov caught a wolf. And he asked the wolf, did you see, we're going to make a joke? And the wolf said, I didn't see Joe. So Yaakov asked, do you think that any of the beasts, any of the animals ate him? He says, no way. Nobody ate him. I said, the whole garment is a joke. The wolf told Yaakov. Yaakov came back home and says, listen, I'll tell you something. You see, this garment reminds me something, what I saw in Ruach HaKodesh, that Yosef is going to have a test with the lady. Why saying it? Because eventually, if you remember, when the lady wanted to make a thing with Yosef, Yosef left the garment in her hand. So now Yaakov says, you know, talk to Yosef, he says, Yosef is going to be swallowed. He was swallowed by the lady. He says, the garment that Judah presented to him, he says, ah, now I know. He's not dead. The wolf told me he's not dead. And now I know what's going on. Says the Gemara, you should know the test that Yaakov, that Yosef had with the lady caused Yosef to lose the ability to have 12 tribes. Yosef should have had 12 children the way Yaakov had, and would have been 12 tribes. Once he had this lady, this test with the lady, he ran away really, but still he lost the 10 tribes. He lost the 10 tribes. And therefore, when Yaakov going to give him a blessing, in Parshat Vayechi, he tells him, listen, I see your two children, but if you will have more, maybe if I'll have more. Maybe if I'll have more. How come I don't have now? See, Yaakov already in Mitzrayim 17 years. I says, what is the problem? I said, Yosef had no children. So what do you mean he's going to have? But you say he's going to have more. He will have more when Yaakov doesn't know. I says, Yaakov had hoped that Yosef maybe would have more because Yosef should have had 12. And he got only 2. So that's why, therefore, in his blessings, he says, I would hope you would have more children. And if you would have more children, so and so. I says, Yaakov knows that Yosef did not have children. Yaakov knows Yosef maybe will not have. Yaakov only hopes Yaakov, that Yosef will have children because really originally that's what it was. That what happened to Yosef, that's what Yaakov saw, of course it happened, the cause for that loss is Yehuda. I mean, he sold him over there. And that's why Yaakov was so upset. Yaakov was so upset when he showed him the garment, there's another garment to the joke, the whole thing is a lie. But the bottom of it is that test. But the test is not the test, it's not the problem of the test. The problem is the loss of 10 tribes. That says, you, Mr. Yehuda, you are the one that caused it. Of course, the great-grandchildren of Yehuda is David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech and Shlomo's son Rehavam. That says, you are so-called the cause of Yosef that lost 10 tribes. Here will come Yosef's grandson. His name is Yerovam ben Nevat. And by appointed at a Navi, and the Navi is going to take a garment, a jacket, and is going to tear it. And it's going to cut it into 12 pieces. This is because this is the garment. This is the garment that Yehuda brought to Yaakov. This is the garment that Yosef had to leave in the hands of that lady. It says, here it is, here you have 10 pieces. So why I'm getting 10? It says, because you're going to be a king of 10 tribes. This is why? Because this guy, Rehavam, and his great-grandfather, his name was Yehuda, they caused that your great-grandfather lost 10 tribes. He would have had another 10 children. I said, he had only 2. I says, here is a person from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says, Zahri, here Mr. Yehoram ben Nevat was the first king on Israel as the king of 10 tribes, so-called as a repair, as a punishment for Shlomo, for Rehavam, for Yehuda, that this is the act, what they caused Yosef to do that thing, to have this test, and he lost the 10 tribes. Of course, we all do know that Yaakov said that Mashiach will come from Yehuda, and the kingdom should be to Yehuda, but only after everything is going to be repaired. It says you cannot be a king if you cause your brother Yosef to lose 10 tribes. And of course, we all have another information, piece of information. We all do know that from Moab, this is from Lot's daughter, will come a girl. That the Kadosh Baruch Hu writes in the Torah, he told Moshe Rabbeinu, that don't start with Moab, leave them alone. He says, why? Because it's going to be a girl from there, that she's going to be so-called the mother of the kingdom. He says, her name is Ruth. He says, and here, this girl, that Naomi found out that she came back to Israel along with her, and she's very, very pure, and she's a candidate to be the grandmother of the Mashiach of David HaMelech. He says, I swear I find you a shidduch. So what do you swear? I said, I have to find you somebody that comes from a family that he is going to do the repair job, the correction, for the cause or flaws that his great-grandfather did, that is going to prevent David HaMelech or his descendants to achieve what Yaakov will give them a blessing. Therefore, he tells her the following. I want to explain to you something. He says, you should know the information that that test that Yosef had with that lady happened to be on Shabbat. It happened to be Friday night at night time. And therefore, normally it goes up to Ruth, it says, listen, I want you to marry somebody, but I have a plan. Hey, please listen to what I tell you. Say, okay. First of all, I want you to go and wash yourself from the dirt of Avodah Zarah. I know you're convert, I know you're holy, but in your system, you still have something from Avodah Zarah. You still have something from Avodah Zarah. I says, you used to wash from Avodah Zarah. I want you to clear it completely. Then I want you to wear Shabbat dress. Shabbat dress is to remember that act that will happen to Yosef, that trap that he fell was on Shabbat. So what I want you to go is I want you to go down to the field. This one, he sleeps on the field. So the Gemara says, don't think he sleeps on the field because he's afraid somebody's going to steal some barley. It is. They're going to steal some barley. But that's not what he's sleeping over there. He's sleeping over there because those people who go to steal the barley is not because they need the barley. It is because this is like a joke. They go out with a girl and then walk around the whole night over there and they go to the field and say, yeah, I brought you some barley. It's to find favorite in the eyes of the girls. So he wanted to prevent it, so-called, to overcome that impurity thing that did happen when Yosef had a test with a girl. I said, I tell you what you got to do. He's going to lie down over there. You go lie down next to him. You lie down next to him. I said, this is something the Gemara says is a test. Something like Yosef had with that lady. That test, in a bigger version, says the Gemara, is what they're having now. I said, she's going to lie down next to him. And says, you stay away from her. You don't look at her, you don't touch her. Stay away from her. And says, but listen, not go home. Say, you stay up the whole night next to me. I don't do nothing. And says, you're not my wife. I'm not touching you. I'm not looking at you, nothing. You lie down and you face to that side, my face is the other side. Until the morning. Says the Gemara, Boaz swore to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, I know what I got to do. I got to fix the impurity, so-called cloud, that was created by the test of Yosef. He says, I got to do it. Yeah, I'm doing it. He says, listen, that's what you have to do. She comes over to him. She says, listen, what I want from you is you should so-called put your garment on me. He says, why don't you tell him directly? He says, I want to marry you. He says, I don't understand. He says, it's a hint. It's that garment. It is this garment that this is your great-grandfather, that's what he did. What he did is he took the garment of Yosef and he cut the garment, he dipped the garment in the blood, and that caused that garment that lady took from Yosef. He says, now you have to return the garment. He says, okay, I want you to marry me. It means, no, I don't marry you. I want you, so-called, to repair. That's what the words of Naomi, the Naomi told her to say. This is called the grandfather of Mashiach cannot have so-called the ideal marriage until he's going to do the repair what was caused. And therefore, that he says, if you remember in the Torah, the same episode, the same story with Yehuda, that he goes on the street and he meets Tamar over there and he marries her on the street. He said, what do you mean? So Hashem says, you know what? I did it. So what do you mean you did it? Why? Why Hashem did such a thing? He said, it was like a partially repair of what Judah is going to cause to Yosef to fall in a trap. So-called Judah falls in the trap. And it was a test if he is going to admit or not to admit. But it didn't happen just because it happened, because the person, he causes himself to be in a situation that he did something to someone. It doesn't matter that you're sorry. Sorry is not enough. so he will not fix and repair the damage that was done because of you. So therefore the Megillah says, I want you to know that this was very, very holy, and he's very straightforward, and then he tells her, listen, you did something great, but you want to marry me. Not because, you know, me, I'm a rabbi, or because I'm well-to-do. You could have had anyone, but you came to me, I understand why you came to me. I said, you want to marry me because of that thing which your mother-in-law expects you to do. It says, your mother was very smart, and he's very smart, and that's what she has in her mind. It says, I'm going to swear I'm going to do this shidduch, because I know what this... drama. I know what has to be done in order to repair that. And the same idea, if you remember, happened to Adam HaRishon as well. If you remember, I said, last year, said to Adam HaRishon as well, the whole downfall that the snake came and spoke to Chava and convinced Chava is because Adam HaRishon also, he did not marry Chava for the sake of marriage to have a child that child should be the Mashiach. This is that Naomi and Ruth, they work on that. And Boaz understands very well. He says, okay, I'm going to do this job. He says, but I have to ask my uncle. He says, I know you're the prettiest one. I love to marry you. But you know, I have to make sure that this marriage is 100% correct. I'm going to ask the uncle, if he wants to marry you, fine. And therefore the whole Megillah, the subject of the whole Megillah is a field. That they go on field, they come back to field, and he is working the field. He says, because the root of the tragedy of Yosef started from the field. And by the way, Darin said, you should know, this parasha that we had, Parashat Bamidbar always falls the Shabbat before Shavuot, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be separate from the curses that we read last week. And the idea of it, of course, is that a person has, as it says, so-called to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I understand that I'm here as a person, as a physical person. But my engine, the thing that drives me, it's my soul, it's more important than my body, than my physical body. It says, this is the numbers in the Torah, the sick. It's not numbers of people, it's numbers of neshamot. That those neshamot connect themselves to angels upstairs. It says, to tell you how important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your spiritual life. This is the marriage over here, the Zahir on Shavuot that you read in Gilat Rut. This is to tell you what's the purpose of marriage. It's not the purpose of marriage that I should marry my wife and I have children. The purpose is that I should have a child. As the Shekhinot tells the people in the Shekhinot, that they tell Naomi, they tell Ruth, they tell Boaz, you know, that marriage is going to be like the marriage of Tamar and Yehuda, the Peretz comes and he is the great-grandfather of Mashiach. He said, this kind of marriage. He says, the marriage that is called marriage to Shem Shamayim, in order so-called to fix what Adam HaRishon was not able to, what David HaMelech was not able to. He says, Boaz is the one that tries very hard to do it. He says, in order for so-called to have the real repair of Mashiach. Hmm?